The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Let's not forget that at the beginning of the season, when this Thursday night game was put on the schedule, that this Thursday night game in particular was one that was greeted with, well, maybe the Browns will actually get a victory and they'll open up those beer coolers. But the enthusiasm, but not this morning. That's about as fun of a game as you could watch last night between two teams that entered the season with just, expectations. Baker Mayfield electrified last night. And again, I had just an enjoyable time watching a football game. And listen, I root for a team in that division. And I'm not a Browns fan. But the last couple of years have been so painful to watch that franchise and that fan base that's as passionate and as energized as any fan base in the league. And to just watch them lose year after year. Remember, they didn't just go 0-16. They went 1-15 the year prior. And for that stadium to find themselves down 14-0 and them clawing back into that game and Baker Mayfield doing all of that, throwing for 201 yards, catching a two-point conversion, throwing through windows. Troy Aikman was so amazed last night at the windows he was throwing that football through. Again, two teams, rookie quarterbacks, whatever. Name your reason why the game wasn't going to be all that important, but it didn't matter. To just watch Cleveland get a victory, to just watch that fan base hugging and crying and treating it like it was a playoff win. We'd be there too. If our team ever did that, if our team over the last couple of years, doesn't matter who you root for, if they went one win in two seasons, you'd feel the same way last night. We're going to talk more about it in terms of what Hugh Jackson's got with Baker Mayfield. That's coming up. Plus a rather unique penalty last night on one Jets player. We'll talk about that. We'll also look into week 3 in the NFL as we keep rolling along. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's SB Nation AM. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.
3-4. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Browns are in victory formation. Baker Mayfield takes a knee. Count it down, everybody. The Browns are winners tonight. and the drought is over. Led by the number one overall draft choice, Baker Mayfield. They come back and win over the Jets, 21-17. Hallelujah!
That's the Browns Radio Network with the call on that win. Oh, good for you, Cleveland. Congratulations. Excellent work. LeBron James is happy. Everybody in Northern Ohio happy. As the Browns win 21-17.
You think they've forgiven Baker?
Oh, yeah. First win. What was it? First win since the Christmas Eve of 2016.
Yeah, against that team in L.A. Yeah. Used to be in San Diego. Ugh.
Was that the last game of the season or the second to last game of the season?
I think it was second to last game.
I was going to say, that wasn't the final San Diego Charger game, was it?
No.
Okay.
It would be fitting, though, if it was.
Oh, Cleveland Browns. I don't know. It was weird. It was weird because when Baker Mayfield, like when got that 2-point conversion and then the Browns scored the touchdown to go ahead and the Jets had the ball, I kept thinking to myself, it was one of those moments where I was like, you know what? I don't want the Browns to lose this game. I really don't. Like, the fans were getting back into it, and you could tell there was just pain. You could tell there was all this. They were just desperate for this victory. It started to look good. The little trick Cleveland, whatever they want to call it, play that Baker Mayfield caught on the place blew up at the end. It just blew up when he caught that ball, and I thought, all right, I want the Browns to win this. I was getting my son into it. Like, he came down, he's like, oh, what game is this? I said, I'll watch this. The Browns haven't won in forever. You got to check this out. He watched the rest of the game. It was that kind of night.
It was the same thing.
It was a fun night.
Making my son watch. I'm like, you don't understand what this is. It was like a playoff atmosphere.
Oh, it totally was. It absolutely was.
And just the fact that right before Baker came in, the stadium, I mean, it was almost quiet.
Oh, it was dead. It was absolutely dead. It was 14-0, and it was...
Yeah, except you would hear chants of Baker every once in a while.
Yeah.
And you knew, like, you just had this feeling, like, it's just a matter of time. When's he going to pull the trigger?
Well, doesn't it feel like this kind of storyline pops up all the time? Like, right, you get a pick, you take a quarterback, and if you don't start him right away, and you get a veteran, and the veteran's not, you know, somebody, not some Pro Bowl player, just a, you know, good quarterback. But I feel like this story plays out all the time. Like, it's just, there's just a moment where early in the season, okay, he's going to get his time, whether it's because of injury or whether it's because of inefficiency
or garbage time
or whatever it is. And then they play well. I mean, there's no guarantee Baker Mayfield plays well, but what happened last night was the turning point for the Browns franchise into their number one quarterback. Maybe Baker Mayfield is a superstar in this league. Maybe this is just his one night and, you know, he's okay and becomes yet another name in the jersey. That's yet to be determined, but that's irrelevant right now. What's relevant is that stadium filled with people want this kid and want to watch him play and want to watch him develop, and this is their guy. This is their guy. Now, you would think that the enthusiasm of you would get to Hugh Jackson. Well, no, because after the game, Hugh Jackson was talking about whether or not Baker Mayfield was going to be his starting quarterback. And he said this.
Obviously, I like to watch the tape. Obviously, Baker did some great things. I mean, again, we don't play until next Sunday. We got some days. Let's not get into those debates tonight. You know, obviously, what he did tonight was outstanding for the football team and for his teammates and just the way he competed. But again, I have to watch the tape and we'll go from there.
Now, he's doing two things here that I can respect. One, he's not going to take Tyrod Taylor and throw him under the bus and say, well, you know what? We finally found our guy. No, he's not going to do that publicly. Two, he might be saying, look, I'm not going to tip my hand here. If I can get a couple of days where our next opponent has to prepare for two quarterbacks, I will do that. But, oh, God, I hope this isn't true. I hope this man isn't honestly saying he's got to look at the tape to determine whether or not Baker Mayfield is his starting quarterback in Oakland against the Raiders. Because Baker Mayfield's your starting quarterback against the Raiders. What is he, you know, what else is there for this franchise?
I mean, if he does do that, does he just have a letter of resignation drafted already?
Of course.
And just,
right?
You know, he goes in and like, if, you know, say he starts Tyrod, Raiders win. Doesn't he just go in, not even the next day, just into the office on the plane ride? It's like, here you go. You know, or fire that email. It's like, here you go. I'm turning it in.
God, it's just, again, this Browns franchise wins last night for the first time in 2 years. The fan base is losing their mind, and you calm everything down with, well, I got to look at the tape. I get it. Look, your job isn't to get on the emotional coach
speak.
I absolutely get it. So there's no, I'm not criticizing that. It's coach speak. And again, Tyrod Taylor, you don't want to throw him on. You're not throwing him under the bus. You don't want to do that publicly. You don't make that statement publicly. You do that, you know, if you make that quarterback decision, you're not going to do it there, and you're not going to let Taylor know through that. So that I get, and that I respect. So you're not going to let Tyrod Taylor know he's lost his starting job at a press conference after a game on a Thursday night. That's not where you do it. You sit both quarterbacks down and you say, we're going in this direction, and then you announce it. So I understand that. But I mean, it must have taken a lot to it must have taken a lot for him to answer it that way. Because if I was the coach, I'd be like, "Oh my God, we finally got a quarterback! Oh my God, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me! I don't believe it! I finally got a kid who can play this position." Ah!
Or even go like the Mike Zimmer route when asked about his kicker. Did you watch the game?
Yeah, did you watch the game?
What do you think? What do you think I'm going to do?
Because,
exactly. I mean, when Baker came in, the most exciting part was just those first set of plays when he came in.
Yeah.
And I got the feeling that even the receivers were trying harder.
They were
running routes. They were getting open a lot harder than they were with Tyrod.
And there's that old saying in the National Football League that, you know, the most popular guy in the city is the guy, you know, your backup quarterback, right? So Mayfield's got that going for him, right? He's the number one overall pick, and he's on the bench, and Tyrod Taylor's a starter, and, you know, they're 0-1-1, right? People in Cleveland are naturally going to have that feeling of, hey, when is that guy going to get to play? When is the number one pick going to get to play? And when we get to see him, when will we get to see him? Are we going to get to see him when we're 0-8-1? Are we going to get to see him when we're 0-10-1? Or are we going to get to see him even when we're 1-9-1 if Tyrod Taylor gets a victory somewhere along the line, but then they go back to their losing ways? This is at least a moment of relief for a franchise that hasn't had a quarterback, that you got a guy that looks like he can really play this position. Look, there are things in this league you can't teach. Guys either have it or they don't. And Mayfield, those throws that he was making, those tight spirals in really small windows that I mentioned earlier, that Aikman was raving about last night. Not everybody in this league does that. And not every young kid in this league does it. He threw a pass to Jarvis Landry last night that hit him on the numbers. Did you see that late
Yes.
in the game? Hit him on the numbers, and Landry couldn't catch it. I mean, just one of those things where you let it go too much and got to hit the chest and bounced off. That's as good of a throw as you're going to see anybody make in this league. And I commented over and over last night to my kid saying, that's a tight pass. That is a good ball. He's throwing a great ball. That's got to be an electric night for people in Cleveland to know, because they haven't had a guy do that in a long time.
Well, it gave something that Cleveland hasn't had forever, which is
forever.
Just hope.
Just hope.
Just hope.
That's it.
I mean, right now you're looking at a Cleveland Browns team that they're 500. Three games into the season, they're 500. Let's forget about the fact that they won a game, their first game in 2 years. When was the last time they were three games in and 500?
Yeah, that's true.
And have a chance to be above 500 next week because they're playing against a team that has just totally lost it.
And can't get to the quarterback. Right. So this is, again, it's funny because as I was explaining yesterday and a little bit today, this game on paper is not your ideal Thursday night must-see TV game. This is one of those games you're like, all right, it must be everybody gets a shot at national TV night, right? But it turns out to be this could be a very memorable game when the season's done, and a year that'll have a whole bunch of them, the night Baker Mayfield entered the NFL, we might remember this. And again, I hope we do. I hope we do because I like him. I like Baker Mayfield. I hope he's successful. I hope the Browns don't start losing seven games and he struggles and he's throwing 10 picks to every intercept, you know, every touchdown.
Or I guess it away starts looking like Sam Darnold.
Yeah, like Sam Darnold, right? Where the bloom is off the rose now. And,
yeah, because I mean, when his first pass is a pick six and storms back into.
Yeah, everybody's all energized about him.
And he blows away a bad Lions team. But we're all like, oh my God, you know, he should have been number one overall. Then you see tonight. And I think that was the other thing, too, is that on paper, we wanted Baker versus Darnold.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
exactly.
Last night I was almost getting the feeling like, okay, you know what? This almost feels. I think we're yearning for another Brady Manning rivalry.
And something along those lines. Yeah, we'd love to see the young guys start producing.
Yeah,
like
it almost got like, okay, these guys are going to be tied to each other forever. Because everyone thought for sure Sam Darnold was going number one, and then that night Cleveland says, "Nah, we're going to go Baker." You know, and there was shock across the country. Like, what? You're going with Baker, not Sam? And now we see, you know, now it's kind of proven. And I had this feeling. I'm watching this game. I'm going, you know what? This might be the start of a rivalry. I mean, I hope the NFL does it right and schedules them more than, you know, once every 5 years or something.
Well, yeah, there's nothing they can do about that because that's etched in.
But hopefully they face off against each other in the playoffs, like just as much as, you know, Manning and Brady always faced off against each other in the playoffs. We want that rivalry again, and you almost have that sense like this could be it.
What a bizarre world that would be if the Browns and Jets are consistent playoff participants that we get
it could
to see
happen.
That's going to be fantastic. Yeah, that is going to be cool. That's a cool thought.
But no, that game.
That game was great.
Who normally carries Thursday Night Football? I know or who used to. Wasn't it CBS?
I don't remember. I used to just watch it on the NFL Network.
Yeah,
so.
I know, me too. I thought it was CBS. Yeah,
I think it was CBS, and then they just kind of shifted it off to NFL Network.
Yeah, the other thought that was going through my mind was like, man, how much is network TV upset right now? They're not caring this game.
Yeah, this was a good one.
Because this was ratings.
This was good ratings. Yeah, because, I mean, as the buzz was, you could see people, you could see if people were going to tune in later and, watch, you know, just kind of catch it second half. Because I caught it, I was out with a friend of mine, and I was watching it, and I said, oh, Jets are up 14-0. And then when I got home, I watched from the field goal of the Browns in from the second half, and that was totally, totally fun. Absolutely fun game last night. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. Your thoughts on last night's game, on Baker Mayfield, on his performance, on the Browns. I mean, just the fan base alone, you know, collectively going crazy like it was a playoff victory. I mean, there's shots of bars celebrating, everybody going crazy, the beer fridges opening up.
Outside the stadium, it was just pandemonium. You just saw seas of people as if they did win a championship.
800-777-2907. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so the Browns win last night, beating the Jets 21-17, picking up their first win since 2016. By the way, congratulations to Bud Light. What a great promotion. Was that not? That was brilliant on their part. I don't know how much those things cost. Who cares? Their publicity that they got from those coolers locked until the Browns win. Well worth whatever the crazy technology that we heard about yesterday was in keeping the fridges closed until they won the game. Well done. That's all I could think about last night was those stupid beer coolers.
Yeah, just when are they opening?
When are they opening? I wanted to see video of them opening. I went to look for it, and I found some. I found some videos of those coolers opening up. I mean, it was great. What a great promotion. What a great idea.
Well, even on the postgame show, they showed a bar. They showed one of the Blue Knights just standing there handing out beers, like finally. Everyone's doing the countdown.
Oh, it was great. That was a great promotion. Great promotion.
Whoever thought of that, I hope he gets a raise today.
I do too. It really was. It's funny that it's weird. This is a weird conversation because it, in a way, like, look, the energy of that game and the excitement of that game is not lost on me. I mean, I had a really good time watching that. But on the flip side, we are celebrating the end of massive futility. I mean, really, this is still an organization. They're celebrating because they're an awful, awful, awful football franchise that finally won a game after 600 plus days. And it's not, they didn't clinch anything. There's no guarantee for future success.
They lose the rest of their games.
I mean, who knows what's going to happen again? But I'm not raining on Baker Mayfield's parade, because I'll tell you, I think a kid is going to win a lot more games. I think he looked good. He looked confident. That was the thing that the Browns were saying to everybody. Well, why, you know, Baker Mayfield. I mean, there was conversations about his size. I mean, all sorts of different conversations about Baker Mayfield, about whether or not he could actually be a successful NFL quarterback over the prototypical looking quarterback of Sam Darnold. And I agree. Even after that game against the Jets, Sam Darnold, despite these last two losses to the Dolphins and the Browns, Darnold looks like an NFL quarterback. Darnold looks like polish this up, polish that up, get this and that straight away. He looks like he belongs in this league. He still looks like he belongs in this league. But people in Cleveland who did this scouting and did this look at Baker Mayfield were impressed by the guy's moxie and the guy's confidence. I mean, the guy was a walk-on at Oklahoma and won the Heisman Trophy. I mean, you need a certain mentality to do that. And he throws well on the run. He throws an accurate ball. He very tight, very nice spiral. He's got what you're looking for. I can't guarantee future success, but I can say he is a real reason for optimism. You know, I know the Browns. Look, that huge list of names on that jersey, those quarterbacks, most of those guys have had a game or two that made Cleveland Browns fans think this is the guy, right? I get it. Absolutely get it. But I don't know. This feels a little different here. I think Baker Mayfield is the answer they've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah, and we could just be bathing in the juice right now.
It could be.
We could just be showering it right now, just saying, "Oh my God, you know, best thing to ever happen." But you know, we're going to do that today. And I got to say this: a lot of credit needs to go to John Dorsey.
Yeah, no doubt. That was a gutsy pick for Baker Mayfield.
Not only that, but I mean, he also made a gutsy pick with Denzel Ward. Everyone thought that was way too high for him.
Yeah, I agree. And absolutely.
Denzel Ward is what, he's leading the league in turnovers right now.
Yeah, and he had a great game against the Steelers in Week 1.
Yeah, and then on top of that, just to bring in the complimentary pieces, like the team that he built, you know, bringing in Landry, bringing in Carlos Hyde, this team is... Even with bringing in Tyrod Taylor, it was like this team, it had a different look than teams in the past where it was just, well, we're just going to run with what we have out there and see what happens.
I remember in 2014, because I was doing overnights on this network, I remember there was a Thursday night game midway through the season, and it was against the Bengals. And they went on the road, the Browns went on the road and won that game. And it was like their third win in a row and 5 of 6 or so. It was something like that. And they had a winning record and it was, you know, mid-November. They would close out with a whole bunch of losses. So it wasn't like it turned in anything special. But I remember there was a feeling in Cleveland like, okay, it was Brian Hoyer that was the quarterback. And Brian Hoyer was holding off Johnny Manziel, was holding back rookie Johnny Manziel. And we had a similar kind of conversation. But at the same time, there wasn't that feeling like, well, Brian Hoyer is going to be the answer right down the road. It was just that Brian Hoyer at that particular moment was playing well. And the Browns were winning some football games with him at quarterback. But eventually Manziel would take over this position. This is a different feeling because Mayfield is their number one pick. So when you have a number one overall pick and that's the guy you take and he's your quarterback, then you know this is going to be his team at some point in his career. This is going to be the guy I'm rooting for week in and week out. We don't know when it's going to be. We don't know when he's going to take over. But eventually this is the guy I'm rooting for. And that just came sooner than people thought. It came in Week 3, right? And now I do not know any reason. If Hugh Jackson is telling the truth, I don't know any reason at all why he doesn't start against Oakland or now has the job going forward.
He has to.
absolutely has the job going.
You know, I get coach speak. Do it. You know, it's gamesmanship. The Raiders.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you can't
make the Raiders prepare for two guys.
Yeah. Hey, we all know that, you know, they can't rush the quarterback.
Yeah, they're not going to get to either one of them.
Because there aren't, you know, it's really hard to find a decent pass rusher, according to Raider head coach.
Very, very difficult to find good pass rushers in this league.
But you have to think that, God, I mean, if Tyrod Taylor sees any part of the field at all, it's like, you got to go.
Yeah.
You're not the man for the job.
Don't botch this up.
There's 31 other coaches. John Gruden's even saying this. Like, I'll take the Cleveland Brown job.
And on the flip
Baker's
side of this,
my guy.
Todd Bowles should be publicly scorned for this. I mean, yeah, this is a bad night for the Jets to go up by two touchdowns on the road. Look good. Their defense played great last night till the end. I mean, their defense at one point was playing outstanding.
And I think just towards the end they were gassed.
They were just running out of steam. It was like, you know, the Steelers went through this too in their game against the Browns. When the Browns got that momentum in week one, Steelers just turned the ball over and couldn't get anything rolling. You know, the two picks by Sam Bradford, one's coming in desperation. The other one was kind of a bad throw. He's getting pressured in the pocket. So it's not like it was a turnover plague night. It was just two. They had three and two came kind of late in the game in desperation time. 800-777-2907, SB Nation AM.
Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, I don't want to get into too much kind of hyperbole, and I don't want to make too much of this, but I'm just going to say it anyway. I think we've played 2 weeks of the National Football League and, you know, 1/16th of the schedule. And I got a feeling this has been a fun season so far. Again, I don't know how it's going to play out, and I don't know how much more of this is on the line. But we've had some good storylines in the first 2 weeks of the season, including last night in the first game of week three. Whether it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, Patrick Mahomes, the Steelers are kind of dysfunctional. Right, I mean, there's all these kind of different kind of stories. The Broncos are 2-0, and you're like, I don't know yet. But the Broncos, for example, have a running back named Philip Lindsay, who went undrafted out of Colorado, a local kid, who is helping them. They're second in the NFL in rushing after 2 weeks, and he's the main reason why. He's averaging 6 yards per carry, and nobody knew who he was, and he went completely undrafted. And he's emerging in Denver, at least, as a star player. This has become a really fun first couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah, and you have rookies that you're excited to see. All the quarterbacks. You know, we were excited to see Sam Darnold. Josh Allen gets his first start. Now the clock is on the Cardinals.
Yeah, to get Josh Rosen.
When's he going to start? Yep. Because obviously Sam Bradford's not the answer. So now the clock, you know, now our focus is, okay, Cardinal, your turn.
So that is the reason I bring that up is because I look at people who still look at this league and don't want to be part of it. And I understand that anthem situation is something that's just not ever going to sit well with you. I understand, but this is the reason I couldn't abandon the NFL. This is what I love about the fall and the autumn. And when I look around, my team right now is terrible, right? They're completely dysfunctional. I mean, Antonio Brown said it correctly. They stink. They suck. But the reality of it is I'm enjoying a lot of these other performances. I'm enjoying a lot of these other storylines playing out. And for me to get excited about a Browns game, a Browns win, just because there's just a larger picture here, the number one overall pick, the excitement of that, all of that, the futility and end of that, I'm enjoying what I'm seeing so far from this league. I'm having a good time watching these games and enjoying it. I would love for Joe Buck, for example. Joe Buck called that game last night. I would love for Joe Buck has called Super Bowls, World Series games. Just have a conversation about the fans, not the game itself, because I'm sure he's called better games and more exciting games because he's called NFC Championship games and Super Bowls and all of that. But I got to think he's that crowd reaction to this was probably one of the better regular season crowds that he's called. And he's called very, very important games late. But I felt it through the TV. It was a playoff crowd last night. Did you see people hugging each other in the stands? Tears were coming down people's faces. This was more than just a regular season win. And again, I would love to hear what Buck has to say about that from a standpoint of, look, in all my years of calling games in this league, that's right up there with what I felt, what I saw leaving the stadium. Right. And granted, look, he's called regular season games late that clinched playoff spots. He's called regular season come from behind victories that are mind boggling. Right. That just you couldn't believe that happened and led to a first round bye or whatever it is. Some of those late season NFC tilts between the Packers and name your team that's popular at the time. Absolutely on top of the list. But I got to think that last night's memorable to him. Of all the games he's called memorable, not from a Mayfield performance or whatever, but because the fans last night on national television, people from Phoenix to Maine to Seattle to Miami and all parts in between, watching the game last night, feeling like, man, this franchise and this fan base has been punished enough. And tonight they get a little bit of relief. They get a little bit of hope, and it's coming from this kid from Oklahoma. I think it's got to be one of the more memorable games he's called just from the reaction of the fans and how they were at the end of that game pouring out into the streets, losing their minds as if they clinched a playoff berth.
Not only that, but I mean bandwagoners. Going over Twitter last night. How many people did you see were just like, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan right now. I want the Browns
to
win.
A ton.
Everybody. I mean, outside of New York, who was rooting for the Jets last night?
And half the city is rooting for the Browns because they don't like the Jets.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So. But I mean, I have to imagine. I mean, it was a tough spot for the Jets to be in because they, somebody has to lose. And the other thought that went through my mind was, does the mayor of Cleveland today or, should he have gone on last night and said, guys, it's a government holiday today.
Government holiday. Do we want a football game?
Because, I mean, it's a school night. We got, it was a school night last night. The kids, kids need to get to bed early. It's a work day. You can't just take off on Friday because everyone's going to know why you're calling in sick.
Right, exactly. But I can't come in today.
No one left that stadium. Even like 10, 15 minutes after the game, no one was leaving that stadium. There's like, we want to stay here and celebrate. And then as soon as you get outside the stadium, it's like, no, I guess we're going to stay here and celebrate. It felt like a playoff game.
Adam Schefter tweeting out that since the Browns' last win, 6 different Marvel movies were released. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor, Ragnarok, Black Panther, Avengers Infinity Movie, and Ant-Man and the Wasp. Well done, Adam. Yeah. That's good. I also points out that 64 different NFL quarterbacks started a game and 47 won at least one game since the last Browns victory on Christmas Eve 2016.
Yeah, against some team.
It was not long for their city.
I can't remember which team that was. I've never followed that team ever. God, that was a fun stat to keep seeing thrown up there.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Win by Cleveland was against your Chargers, Ron. It literally said that at one point. It said your Chargers, Ron. That was the last win. I'm like, oh, thanks, guys. Thanks for bringing that up again.
That's so funny. You know what? If you go on the Browns schedule, like if you look at the 2016 schedule, this has got to add even more insult to injury. So if you go like to ESPN.com and go to the Browns schedule for that year, all the other teams that they played have like an ability, have like a hyperlink where you can click onto the team, but they can't because it still says San Diego. And they disconnected the hyperlink that would go to the LA Chargers as if the franchise no longer exists and you can't find any information about them.
That's who it was. I mean, does that make perfect sense though? Cleveland's last win was against a franchise that doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
That's how long it's been.
Good job. Good job last night. That's fine. Boy, Jets fans must be just livid. Isaiah Crowell wiping his behind with the football and tossing it in the crowd.
So stupid.
I don't remember him. I don't remember his departure from Cleveland. Was it bitter? Am I missing a story that makes him go, yeah, screw you, Cleveland. I wish I was here, but instead I'm in New York. Just, right? Was it that? Was it just? Because I know he was doing it because he was a former player, but I didn't know the split was that, you know, was that divisive.
Did you say split?
Yep, I did.
Now, how fast did that ref pull his flag?
He's just standing right there,
and he looks at it, he's like, phoom.
That's enough.
So quick. And you,
because you can throw the ball into the stands. That's not going to draw a flag. But when you wipe it on your behind and then throw it into the stands, that's going to generate a penalty. But even at that moment, you're thinking, all right, the Jets are going to cruise here. This is not going to work out. I'm telling you, I do think, and I mean it, I think the Hard Knocks factor was a big reason why people were, you know, interested in this team. I think when you lay out a team's story like they did, and people are kind of engaged in it and watch it, even if they don't watch all of it, it's just enough to get some personalities and get a human side of things, and it becomes a lot different. I mean, some teams had that effect, some teams didn't. I don't remember everybody kind of jumping all over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they were on the show, but it just feels like the Browns got a good showing, and you know they ended up being a likable team for last night's game, but that was still energizing. But
don't you, if you were HBO right now, wouldn't you sit there and go, you know what, hey, we got to go back and just do a follow-up.
Let's do a follow-up. Yeah, let's get the cameras back
in
there.
Just a one-hour follow-up, maybe an hour and a half. Get Liv out there. Or Liv.
I saw an interesting meme that somebody put together, the Cleveland Browns one-game victory prize pack that you could get by ordering a magazine. It comes with a commemorative DVD and hat.
That's outstanding.
I know. Get your Cleveland Browns victory package today. Somebody else put a picture of one of those like kindergarten you did it certificates and said Cleveland Browns NFL football winners. Congratulations. Oh, the Browns, that's fantastic.
Now how many 9 months from now, how many baby boys are going to be named Baker?
I know. Baker is going to be loaded in that city.
I mean, we always talk about that, like, after, you know, championships are won.
Oh.
This was a championship for him. Yep. I'm looking up. I'm trying to figure out was there any disgruntledness with Isaiah? And I'm not finding anything.
I didn't find anything. I didn't read anything in the story because I read a couple of stories in the New York Post. I read about it. But they didn't even hint that that was a bad breakup. That was a bad split between those two. And again, I might be missing something. I'm not completely up on every single Cleveland Browns transaction over the past 5 years.
I think he was a free agent.
I think so too.
He signed with the Jets in March for a 3-year deal worth $12 million.
I don't remember doing any story on Isaiah Crowell's anger with the Browns for not signing him or whatever. So wiped his butt with the football and threw it into the stands.
Maybe you guys chose Carlos Hyde over me.
Maybe that's it.
And if it's
what makes
that,
you do that though?
That's so petty.
What makes you run to the end zone and go, yeah, wipe, 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 toss.
This seems like a good idea.
Now they won't flag this a road team making this sort of gesture with the football. I'm sure that's going to go over well with the league office. I'm sure they'll understand my angst with the Cleveland Browns.
I should have waited until the official came a little closer.
Exactly.
Maybe ran over to the official.
Oh, goodness. All right, 800-777-2907. Thursday Night Football is in the books. Next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about the week 3 in the NFL and games to watch, games you can avoid. I'm getting to a point where most of them are must-watch games as we're getting more. You never know what you're going to get with this league. 800-777-2907 on SB Nation AM.
This This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Ron pointed out something really good. We are now all 1-0 in our Bet DSI picks for the week.
Yeah, we are!
We are, baby. We took the Cleveland Browns,
expert
favorite in the game, by 3.5 points in our BetDSI.com picks. We took the Cleveland Browns over the Jets, which, by the way, if you're a Jet and you're an underdog to a team that hasn't won in 600 days,
blah,
good Lord. But anyway, we're 1-0, so I'm pretty excited going into the weekend now.
Yeah, we're 5-0 this weekend.
Yeah,
I'm calling it right now. Yeah. I'm going to go 5-0.
Get my tout line ready to go.
That's right.
Does anybody ever use, do 1-900 numbers exist anymore?
Well, Tony, if you ask.
Seriously, everybody used to have one. It cost $1.50 a second or whatever it was. Did those
exist? It was always free, like the first 90 seconds.
Yeah, first 90 seconds.
And then it was $800 for every 10 seconds in increments after that.
Oh, God, those days, man. Fun times.
That's how we all perfected, 90 seconds for us.
Exactly. Click. Done. I'm on click. Yeah.
Thanks. Goodness. That's all I needed.
Yeah. It's so weird, like, because with cell phones, remember we used to pay for long distance phone calls. Remember that?
Yep.
Remember when you used to, like, if you had a friend, like, it wasn't even like out of state. Like, some areas, if you called like five towns over, it was a long distance phone call.
I can remember
my father would go, "Who are you talking to?" I'd be like, "Ah, blah, 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 blah. Where does he live? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, get off the phone. You've been on it for 10 minutes.
In college, I lived with a bunch of my fraternity brothers. We had our own house together. And once a month, one guy was in charge of circling all the long distance phone calls.
And he would
put initials next to it.
Yep.
Because he kind of figured out, like, okay, I know this is so-and-so's dad or this is so-and-so's mom. And he would put initials like, here, this is yours. And then, then there were some that were blank. And he's like, all right, somebody needs to claim these. And, of course, none of us ever did. But it's like, God, man, you're ridiculous.
And I used to think, what made the technology, other than the fact that it was a money grab for the phone company, but was there extra effort by the phone company to connect you with a phone call in Arizona if you lived in Minnesota?
Maybe back in the day when,
than it was if you called the local grocery store?
I think back in the day, when you were actually using operators, like, hold please.
Hold please.
And, they actually had to push a button or stick that thing into the hole and whatever.
Yeah, the can actually connect
you.
Yeah,
actually had to connect you. Then I think it just carried over once everything became digital. It was like, oh, let's just still charge for it. No one's saying anything.
Oh, yeah. You used to get these rates. Like if you called after, remember the television commercials used to say 10 cents a minute after 7 p.m.
Oh, don't you remember all the prepaid phone cards, too?
Exactly.
Like, there was one. I remember it was like, 10-10-90 or something like that?
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, 900 numbers.
This was so you can call long distance. Use this card.
Just to call long distance. On a phone. All right, we'll go over week three in the NFL as we roll along SB Nation AM. Tony D and Ron Culver on SB Nation Radio.